Welcome aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN Chicago, and on CLTNV.
Yep. I don't know if anybody's really liking the Archie name. Are we liking the Archie name?
I've never heard such anger over one name.
It just shocked me.
Me too.
That's what it was.
I like it.
Really? Whoa.
I was pulling for Spencer.
Diana.
Yeah.
Lady Diana Spencer.
It doesn't sound royal.
So, you know what Spencer is? Spencer's one of those names, though, that you hear a guy named Spencer, how bad could it be?
Did you just say Spencer didn't sound royal? Is that what you said?
Yeah, to me.
But does Archie?
No.
Archibald sort of does. Archibald.
But Archibald is not his name. It is Archie.
I still don't understand why they said he's black. He doesn't look black at all.
He's so adorable, by the way.
He is so cute.
I mean, that cute little face. Oh, gosh.
They had to explain that to the queen a few hundred times.
What's his name?
What you're saying to me is that she's an American, and her mother's black, and her father's Jewish? And then they would go, maybe she'll get over it. Maybe she'll get over it in a couple of hours, and then she would have to be explained it all over again because she'd forget it and get outraged over it again. First of all, we fought a war. Didn't we fight a war? We fought a war. We fought the war.
But we all
240 years ago. Yeah, just so we don't have to deal with this crap, though, right?
Deal with what crap?
I mean, these people.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. Oh,
this
gosh,
is my Game of Thrones, Ro. I love this stuff.
Do you follow the royals, Kim?
I do. I love it.
I do too. My mom's British, and so she's.
Well, you had no choice,
right? We grew up with those mugs, except celebrating the queen mom, and like the jubilee, and like all of the different things that are happening in the royal family that she got excited about. But what's really cool about this baby and what they're doing is that you can tell they're breaking with traditions, right? They're respectful of who they are and their place, but they seem so much more relatable, and the way they're breaking with some of the things that the royals stand for, right? I mean, even his choice of a bride is not someone you could have even imagined 20 years ago.
Absolutely. But relatable till you see Meghan Markle come out like she had
stunning,
unbelievably beautiful 2 days after having a baby.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I mean, just gorgeous.
Yeah, she's hot. But what is the point of having royals if they're going to be like common folk? Right? I mean, where is England?
I don't think they're
down
common
there?
Folk, but I think that they seem terribly out of touch on so many different issues.
Oh, for sure.
And
isn't that the fun of it, though? Don't you want them to be out of touch as opposed to being, because there are some royal families throughout Europe that, where people are flying commercial. I don't know who they are, but all of a sudden you find out that it's like a king of Norway and he's skiing down a slope somewhere and everybody goes, hey, there's a king of Norway. For a long time, the rightful king of Serbia lived in Cicero.
Oh, gosh.
That is a true story.
So I think Monaco represented him.
Right, I think he did. He did. He lived in it wasn't a castle or anything, but he was in Cicero.
Yeah, I just, they seem like they're totally like the hip royals and that they're connecting with people in a way that they haven't before.
Didn't we kind of think that Charles and Diana were the hip royals and look what happened?
No, but Diana was set up at the age of 19, she didn't even know this guy. He was in love with Camilla. I mean, it just, the whole thing was just tragic from the start. This one seems like a genuine love story. And it seems like they care for each other and respectful of each other, that there's some equity here.
I agree with you, Anna. And I also think they can be the hip royals because Harry's never going to be king. So the rules are a little more relaxed for him than they would be for William and Kate.
Hey, you never know. You never know.
Well, you've heard the conspiracy theory that's out there, right? It's kind of funny. That Prince Harry marries an American. They have a baby, Archie. Archie has dual citizenship. Make him king. Then have him elected U.S. president, and then the USA is ruled by an English king again. America's ruled by an English king.
Oh, that is hysterical. where did the
King
Daily
Archie.
Mail, were you reading that?
It's just all over the internet. It's just funny, because it's Archie is just...
Make America Great Britain again.
Make America Great Britain.
You know, Ro, anything
Britain.
Can happen, as we've seen.
Oh, that's true. that is true. I should really shut my mouth down.
Yeah.
All right.
And for the Star Wars members of the show, fans of the show, Lauren, did you see Mark Hamill's tweet?
I didn't.
He was begging the royals to name the baby after a favorite Star Wars character or the actor that plays him. And he said, I was pushing for Luke, but we got Harrison.
Oh, there you go.
Because it's Archie Harrison.
They listened.
Harrison Ford, bro. Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I like how they had to have an interpreter, like a British to American interpreter on to discuss. Well, Arch is a very important name here in England.
Is it?
Moment, yes. It's number 8 on the of the most popular baby names in all of Great Britain. And of course, Harrison, because he's Harry's son. Couldn't be simpler than that.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to weave it in a little too much. It's interesting because they, you know, you could see all the like royal watchers trying to say, well, where did Archie come from? Maybe there is an Archie in the lineage of the royal family, and no one has really found an Archie yet.
Yeah, there might be an Archie in the royal family. You never know.
you never know.
There's always some porter that worked his way in.
There's always some people on the side that
we're questioning. Game of Thrones. Next thing you know, there's a Targaryen. Wait, hold on. He's a what? He's Aegon Targaryen?
We've seen the side-by-side pictures of Harry and the polo player.
Yeah,
maybe they love American football. You got Archie Griffin. You got Archie Manning.
I don't think they really love football.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Archie. Maybe it's in Meghan's family. She's got a big family.
Oh, hell no. Now you're going to have trouble.
I don't think she's naming anything after her dad, though.
No. I don't want any of those names with lots of letters, and I don't know what goes on.
Right. Queen looks thrilled in pictures, at least.
Yeah. How would you know?
she
hasn't had a facial expression in 70 years. How would we know?
She has a smile in one of the pictures. I haven't seen her smile in a while. She looks terribly delighted.
She was passing gas.
Oh.
All right, here we go. Oh. Ben Bradley's going to join us here in just a moment. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A new twist in the search for a 19-year-old pregnant woman from Little Village.
Oh, I'm sorry. The music threw me off. I have one thing to say here. Come out to the WGN-TV White Sox Weather Day. It's May 14th. See Skilling's presentation. Tom Skilling, that is. Followed by White Sox Indians. Tickets available. WhiteSox.com/WGN.
Ew, hello, little Archie.
Oh, Archie Bunker. No.
My little great-great-great-grandson. He related to me.
A question she might have asked, but
the name is Archibald, right? No, it's Archie.
I think they told the Queen it's Archibald.
Oh,
I think they did.
Oh. Why do they tell Prince Philip right now? Other than where to go to the bathroom?
You don't think he can go right there, standing up?
Yeah, I think he does. Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think they're like, "Your Royal Highness, it would be better if you went in the bathroom."
I just hope nobody lets Prince Philip drive with the new baby, given his track record behind the wheel in his later years.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second. Which side do I get on?
You know, look, I had prepped myself to discuss the royal baby with you guys. You know, I went to people.com for the first time in, I don't know, 10 years to read up and do my history. And then I just realized that in the last 6 minutes, you have said everything I know about the royal baby.
Well, nobody knows anything about the royal baby. And so what? I want you to name three cousins of Archie.
Thurston Howell, the professor.
You don't know any?
I'm asking you.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, what about the kid who looks like the Gerber baby that William had? George, yeah.
Louis and Charlotte.
Lou!
That's the three cousins.
George, Louis, and Charlotte.
Okay. Check to see if she's looking at people.com.
I'm not. I know this. That's okay. Somebody I know.
Cam, is she right?
I think so.
Is that accurate?
Did I get it right, Kim?
I'm sorry, say it again.
George, Louis, and Charlotte. Aren't they the William and Kate's kids?
Yeah, but they call him Louie.
Louie, sorry.
Oh, there you go.
Not Lou?
Okay, I think she might have been looking it up.
I think it was a
Judy Pylak infraction.
I was not looking it up.
It's a violation right there. Every time I read 7th in line for the throne, I always think about, you know, women at Bears games, right? They're like 50th in line for the throne. Give me a little.
Yeah, something. Something for that.
I mean, really doesn't deserve it. You had, that's a pity rim
shot.
Yeah,
that was a pity. I'll take
the pity. Kind of was. But, you know, for betting people, and I know no one here that I know of is one of those, but the odds had you bet on, had someone been a betting person and bet on Archie, 100 to 1 odds.
Yeah, and
big payday.
Some bookmakers said that only 60 people bet that the name would be Archie.
Maybe we should file an inquiry on that name.
Go figure.
Yeah. All right. Well, see who I'm they so were. Happy for
Mountbatten.
All of them.
That's the only What's regal the full part name? Of that. So the full name is Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor.
Windsor. Oh, I know that name.
I feel like that's he should have a couple of Roman numerals after his name, too, shouldn't he?
Do I have? Is my name Windsor?
And that's the full name, because some of them are even longer than that, aren't they?
Yep.
They're like 17 names.
And I didn't know that Harrison means son of Henry or son of Harry. Did you know that? Archibald means
let me ask you a question. Of all the things Harrison could mean, give me one other example of what it could mean other than
George Harrison.
Son of Harrison.
I mean, Harrison Ford was very brave.
Yeah.
Sure.
Loved him in Indiana Jones.
I'm just saying. And everybody wants to make a ginormous deal out of this baby, and we fought a war so we don't have to. And yet we're doing it.
Well.
Yet we're doing it. And, of course, and Megan looked good. I mean, she was standing up, which was really, I wouldn't be after having, that thing shooting out of me. I'd be lying around for as long as I possibly could.
I thought the most relatable thing the Royals have done in the last decade was when Harry came out of the hospital the other day and stood in front of the horses and was like, wow, you should have seen this. The way that baby shot out of there, it was crazy.
Right. I just have so much. I'm in awe of women. All women.
I'm
all
in awe of women. Did you know women do this?
It was such an unscripted moment. It was like, oh my gosh.
And then he turned and thanked the horses and walked away.
Yeah, he thanked the horses. Oh gosh. He was like, I just had a baby. My mind. Just, I don't have it anymore. Mm. And now he's not going to sleep anymore for the next... I think they'll actually be hands-on parents, don't you think?
Thank you. Thank you, Camilla.
Bro.
William and Kate are supposedly hands-on parents. Don't they live in, like, the outhouse or the cottage or something? Like, they don't live in the main castle.
Kate and William, is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't. Okay.
I feel like they're a little.
When they say cottage, they don't mean it like we mean it. They don't mean it like Cottage Grove. They mean.
cottage on the lake somewhere, that.
Yeah.
I'm getting so many dirty looks for my lack of Royals knowledge from Danielle, like, our 4 p.m. producer, who is so excited about the Royals that she actually produced a special Royal Watch animation with its own music.
What
you don't know about WGN is those things are really hard to get. Like, we just got one for the Rahm Emanuel administration last week, but we've got a Royal Baby animation.
Well,
that's awesome.
Hold on. Now, the Royal Baby, was Prince Charles there? Do we see him?
They only released that one photo on Instagram.
Well, no, they released, there are other pictures from people who were inside, like the palace. They released some other pictures.
Oh, there are some other pictures.
Yeah, and there's one of the Queen smiling with a really, like, a big smile like you don't usually see on the Queen.
Yeah. Which filter did they use?
Who's the,
And Prince Philip is behind her.
Mm-hmm. And he's,
and then you've got Harry and the proud
Meghan's
parents
mom.
And Meghan and Meghan's mom, Doria.
Yeah.
They're all there.
Mm-hmm. And her dad is still what, on suspension?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think so.
He's not driving currently.
And I think Prince Charles was like in Germany or something. He's not even around.
Right. Right here. There's having nuptials with Camilla.
Why is Johnny Depp doing that?
All right, listen, I only have one voice. You know,
Kentucky, the royal family.
Yeah,
same voice.
Same damn thing. Same damn thing.
And the best is after a drink or two, they all end up sounding like your Trump impression.
Yeah, that's really true. That's true. All right. Thank you, Ben. Thanks. You did nothing for us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for preparing on the Royal Watch.
Yeah, I'm here
really
for
Really good.
You.
I'm glad you have an animation. Let's check in with Kim, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. This is a great pleasure to have in studio with us our friends of the show, Ambassador Bruce Heyman and his wife, Vicki Heyman, and they are Chicagoans who went off to Canada to become the United States ambassador, and I would say ambassadors, because I think Vicky did more work than Bruce, and that's at least how the Canadian press played it. And they were up in Ottawa for a couple of years, and it's amazing because Bruce has been on the show a number of times since since he's come back here. And we've talked about international relations and things like that. We'll get to that. And, you know, sort of why are we always so mad at our own friends and, you know, hugging our enemies. But before we get to that, they've written a book called The Art of Diplomacy. And it's fascinating because what they did is they did, you know, these are like, you know, two Chicago kids, even though they're from Ohio and Kentucky. That doesn't really matter. No. They, you know, but they're transplants. They raise their family here. They've been here for a gazillion years. And all of a sudden, you know, they're thrown onto this stage and to do this job. And they tell it from each of their perspectives of what it's like to walk in. And I think one of the most fascinating things is that you walk into, like, you know, you go to the residence. There's a special name for the residence, right, Vicky? There's
Lornado.
Like Lornado, right.
For Lorna Doone.
And really, like the cookie, Lorna Doone?
No, the novel.
The novel. Okay.
That was 100 years ago. The cookie came after.
Oh. Well, I mean, of course, the novel. Anna, yeah, that's what she meant, the novel.
I was thinking novel, not cookie.
Yeah, question was that. So the it's fascinating how, you know, you walk in and it's some of these places are not exactly in the same shape that you kind of expect. These are, you know, you got to put your own sort of stamp on it, and, you know, might have to fix the plumbing.
Yeah, well, coming to Canada, Bruce and I came there not as official. I mean, Bruce was officially the ambassador, and we were there launched as diplomats, but we had never been diplomats before. We just had lived our lives. Bruce had been in finance, and I'd done a lot of work in my community. I started in finance
here
a long time ago,
but
a lot of work here in Chicago and children's health and education, and segue to get very involved in the Obama campaign, both in 08 and 12. And we arrived kind of with our skills that we had, not necessarily the diplomatic skills, and how are we going to make this journey our own? How are we going to tell our story? So Lornado and transforming the residence from kind of the stuffy diplomatic post
to a
pretty great place, a lot of great art, a lot of great storytelling, some good parties, and some great conversations. It made an impact.
Well, it's an interesting thing. Bruce, you were here. We talked about this a number of times, that Canada is our best friend. It's like our brother, right? I mean, it's in the Game of Thrones kind of way. It's brother, might not be your brother. You're not sure. You know, are you related? Are you not related?
Sometimes you're really close. Yeah. Sometimes not so much.
Yeah, exactly. Now, are you going to be family? What is going to happen? But that's really what it is. I mean, we have the largest trading relationship with Canada as we do with any country in the world, right? We have the, in terms of our national defense, it's as big as it, as you know, they are the biggest player in terms of aiding us in our national defense, as we are with them. And we have the longest uncontrolled border, at least for the moment, you know, in human history with them. So, you know, when you go up there, especially when you went up there in 2013, right, 14, we were friends, weren't we?
We weren't just friends. We were best friends. And if you think, you know, everybody out here listening in today, you think about your own best friend and you think about what it takes to be a best friend. Trust, honesty, they're there for you when you need them. You know, a friend in need is a friend indeed. Well, Canada's always been there for us through thick and thin, whether it's a hurricane or a fire or 9/11 or Iran and the diplomats taking him out. Canada's always been there for us, and they're our largest trading partner, and they share the Great Lakes here with us just on the other side, and they're our largest energy supplier, yes, more than the next five countries combined, but we're family, and, you know, that's how we left, and we felt great about it. Look, Obama came and spoke before Parliament. We had a state dinner for Justin Trudeau, and we got deals done. Everything was going great.
And when you came in, there was a conservative prime minister, right? So it wasn't like, you know, this was, you know, Obama and Trudeau, who would be a little bit more politically like-minded. Right. This was and you talk, that's another, if people are interested in politics and geopolitics, that's a great part of this book too, The Art of Diplomacy, is talking about how you had Because the Conservative Party up in Canada, like Conservative parties in a lot of other places, including Europe, and you know, they sort of had a little jaundiced view of Liberal Democrats in America.
They did. But my point in the book, and we did have some differences, especially on this Keystone Pipeline, which everybody, I think, is familiar with, that is still not yet done or approved, even though we have a Republican president, we had a Democratic president. But the bigger issue for us is it doesn't matter whether a Republican or Democrat in the White House, a conservative or liberal up in the parliament in Ottawa, that the U.S.-Canada relationship rises above all that, even when you have disagreements. Even if you could, if you were to disagree, you don't need to be disagreeable in that process. But what's happened the last 2 years is Donald Trump has just gone right at these guys in a way that you never would treat your best friend. In fact, I think he treats them worse than, yeah, you know, some of our...
Vladimir Putin? Let me put words in your mouth.
Thank you.
You've spoken out before about how this administration looks at diplomacy now as very binary, wins and losses.
Correct.
And that's dangerous, in your opinion. And you're telling us that we should really be concerned about this sort of approach to Canada.
Very short-term thinking. Very much, you know, the president's like, I got to have a victory, so you've got to lose. And in diplomacy, especially with your next-door neighbor and your best friend who's going to be there year in and year out, the relationship's not disposable like some painting contractor at some Trump property. The relationship is something that you need to work on. And we can still have differences. We have differences within our own family. With, you know, Vicky and I sometimes even have a difference, believe it or not.
I don't.
And but in all reality, is you have to work through those, and you do that with your friend. The way he's treating Canada really caused us to sit down and write this book. And the book is a story. It's actually kind of like a love letter
to
Canada.
It's not very political, though.
I mean, it's not a super political book.
No, there's a little bit of it. As sometimes there's people yelling at Bruce about... there's
about
a couple
what?
Times. Well, there's a couple times where, you know, there's a couple tough negotiations and a couple tough moments when you guys were trying to figure out what it was that you were going to do. Generally the work of an ambassador. There are going to be tough meetings.
There are tough meetings and they're tough discussions.
Yeah.
But you can have those behind closed doors and you can work through them. You don't need to get to the point where you're calling people names and you're threatening them and you're doing things against them. And so that's what ended up happening. Donald Trump's like calling people names, calling out Justin Trudeau, you know, calling out the form and lying about things about our trade and our level of trade and everything. And so, you know, that's the reason we wrote the book. We wanted to let Canadians know that we do care, and there are a whole lot of us to do. We want to let Americans know how important the Canada-U.S. relationship is.
And this book just in its first week cracked the top 10 bestseller list in Canada.
That tells
you everything today. You need to know.
It's just today, it was just announced just as we walked in.
Congratulations.
So, yeah, thank you.
Awesome.
Interrupt, speaking about relationships, the book really is a book about relationships, both personal and political. So in the book, you're going to meet prime ministers. You're going to meet a Supreme Court justice. You're going to meet a fisherman. You're going to meet a farmer. You're going to meet Mrs. Trudeau. You're going to meet incredible Canadian artists and change makers. And it's our way of saying, you know, I think particularly here in the United States, to people that don't know Canada intimately. They know him as our, you know, the nice guys that live up north. But to understand what's important to Canadians, what do they value, how come they're our best friends, and to show in a human way, you know, what really connects us. So what we hope people take away from this book is the notion that this is a very valued relationship. These are the kinds of values that this country holds up, and we want to be part of that. And it becomes really more of a call to action to Americans and to Canadians to say, we want to be citizen ambassadors with a small A. This is a relationship worth fighting for and protecting, whether that means you're an artist, you know, write a song, you're a filmmaker, make a film, you're an activist, organize, or you're just a citizen, vote.
Well, you know, it's culturally, Canada and the United States are probably the closest neighboring nations in the world to each other that share the most amount of cultural coverage. You know, that's in terms of, obviously, you know, there's French, you know, the Quebecois and all that. That's a different language. Even they don't even understand each other. Let's just be honest. But it is the whole thing, even with the difference in language, it is, you know, the common values, common historical experience. Mm-hmm. a common feel to the cuisine and to the, you know, so many different things. And so, and you don't find that around the world. And so it just, it is, to me, it's just such a ridiculous moment that we're living in right now, where, as, you know, as we're talking about, this has to be some sort of transaction or game theory moment with everybody who's on our side. And then you go and you kind of suck up to the people who are not on our side, and you're trying to win them over by charming them. Like you're a casino manager trying to get them to show up at a craps table. And I just don't think that that's a great way of going about business.
You know, around the world, countries actually don't have a lot of flexibility in choosing who your neighbor is. But you do have flexibility choosing who your friends are. Mm-hmm. And the United States has chosen well. We have chosen Canada as our best friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think all of us should just take note. Oh, by the way, here in Illinois, this is our largest trading partner. We trade more with Canada than any other country in the world. So if you're out there and you work in a company and you sell product that sells outside of Illinois, odds are Canada is your top customer. Oh, by the way, as far as tourism, who do you think the largest number of tourists that come down and visit Chicago and come to our restaurants and go to our hotels and enjoy the community that we have here?
People from St. Louis? Oh, the Canadians. Yeah. Okay.
The nicer ones, the Canadians.
Only during the Cubs games.
Yeah. All right. Hey, and I wanted to say one other thing. There is a disgusting story in this book.
What?
An absolutely disgusting.
Does it involve Euro?
It does not. Mm. It does not. That I was never in Canada for this. They go to a place in out in the Maritimes or something, right? Where they literally take a frozen toe, like a human.
It's the Yukon. What? It's the Yukon.
It's in the Yukon. All right.
A frozen toe.
Yeah, they take a frozen, black, frozen toe, and they, like, put it in your drink, right? Is that what they do?
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have to take a shot with the frozen, dead, black toe in your drink.
It's not even frozen anymore. It's just kind of there. And then what they do is, so I look down at it, and, you know, this sour toe cocktail.
You can make
one, Hiro. Toss it in your drink.
Wagon. I hear it.
You take a shot, and then I see the guy grab the toe, and he wrings out a few extra drops and says, will you drink these? And you know what? I try just about everything. I didn't go there.
I think we'd do it. I think this show would do it. We're not afraid.
Yeah, Fridays.
Right. Yeah, Fridays. Right.
Fridays.
Right about 5:37. It would be right about the moment where we're like, okay, because we're already four in by then, but nobody knows.
Uh-huh.
The Art of Diplomacy is the book. Bruce and Vicky Hayman, former U.S. Ambassador to Canada, Ambassador Bruce Hayman and his wife Vicky, have written this. They're Chicagoans, and it's just cracked the top 10 in its first week and the Canadian bestseller list. It's about to hit the American bestseller list. It's really an interesting look, and it's a great way of selling the idea that maybe we should be getting along more than, and you know, maybe what you do, you know, there's somebody in your house that drives you nuts about Trump. Maybe just slide that under the pillow. He's buying
or buy Mother's Day gift.
Yeah,
or
nice Mother's, right? Exactly. Right. Sure. Here, read this. This is how this should be done. So, and then you'll also learn about the dead toe in the drink.
Yeah.
Lauren Lapka's got the WGN. Well, first let me find out from Kim what's happening in the news at the top of the hour. I almost forgot about her.
How could you forget about me? The House has voted to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt over the Mueller report.
Lauren's traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. I think we're making a terrible mistake right now.
You do? Yeah. What's that?
We're playing this music from Top Gun, which is a movie about naval aviators. Just ask them. They all like to tell you about how they made a movie about them.
True.
And a lot of people say to Air Force pilots, they say, hey, love Top Gun. And then Air Force pilots go, that was the Navy. To a man or a woman.
Mm-hmm.
They will correct you. They are the Lauren Lapka of the armed forces. They are the ones that are going to go, hey,
not right.
It's a tough job. You've got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a job where you're very alert on this program because number of occasions when that's warranted.
Now we bring on Adam Kinsey, where we always play that Top Gun music. Well, because not only because he's a pilot, but he's an Air Force pilot, not a Navy pilot. But we play it because he likes to take his shirt off, and that was, remember, the shirtless volleyball game, and that's all I can
think
of.
Who could forget?
That's all I can think of. And when I think of Adam, I think of the shirtless volleyball game. Anyway, the point is, is this.
Okay.
Yesterday, and I want to ask you about this, Congressman. Yesterday, we had Mike Flannery on the program. He's a political editor over at Fox 32. Mm-hmm. And he dropped something like it was hot, that you were under consideration for Secretary of the Air Force. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, okay, so two things. First off, hi, guys.
Hi.
What it is, you know, we'll take Top Gun because the Air Force's movie was Iron Eagle, and that really is not that cool, right? Chappie Sinclair. So we'll stick with the Navy for cool factor. But in terms of the Air Force Secretary position, yeah, there's been conversations. I can't go into a lot of detail of that. And, you know, what I've made clear is I fully intend to ride in for Congress. I love this job. I love the district. But, you know, if the president ends up calling me and asking me to take this position, come, I'd certainly look at it. It's a real like, transformative moment for the Air Force, and you know, I think it could bring a lot to the fight.
Yeah. And with that, now, is the Space Force going to start with the Air Force, do you know, or is it moving, or are they starting their own things separately?
Yeah, no, it's looking like they're on track to be something like the Marine Corps is to the Navy. So, in essence, an independent branch, but under the Department of the Navy. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Space Force is going. And I actually think it's good because, you know, look, SpaceX is huge. It's the next, the final frontier. And so to have a force dedicated to that while you still have a force dedicated to, you know, bombs on target, air refueling, moving goods, I think is good. It's really two different mission sets in terms of the mix. I don't like the, you know, the idea of an added bureaucracy, but I also think, you know, for the future of warfare.
Well, what we're going to do when, if and when you become the Air Force Secretary, we're going to get you a better phone. I think that's the most important thing.
Communications are
yes,
important.
Yes, I think they're important. I'm not sure. So we're going to fix that right now. We're going to get him just that.
Yeah. We'll get him a phone as a congratulatory gift.
As AFSEC, as they like to call it. Everything in the military is just a bunch of letters smushed together.
Uh-huh.
And you're supposed to know what they mean.
You're supposed to decode them on the go. It's very difficult. I was just at a military ceremony in Colorado Springs 2 weekends ago, and I was lost a couple times. I had my phone out. What does that mean?
He's not SyncPAC, but he's
SyncPAC.
SyncPAC, Commander-in-Chief of the Pacific. That's like the naval thing.
Oh.
SyncPAC Nav. And what they do is they just take three letters of everything and they just smush them together and you're supposed to interpret what the hell it means.
Are you called secretary then? Or you would always be called secretary?
Yes.
Huh.
He's Madam Secretary. He's Mr. Secretary as far, I just remember the TV show, as far as the eye can see. You know, so if you're secretary, like he'd be congressman. Actually, it's interesting.
What would it be?
We just had an ambassador on. Ambassador is the only title you keep for life.
Stays with you.
Right. It's the only title that you can say former congressman if you were to leave.
Uh-huh.
But secretary, I think, also stays with you. I guess you got to say former secretary.
Oh.
Former secretary. Because we don't have him to secretary yet. But we get him to secretary, then we'll make him a former secretary. Because I'll put him on and he'll say something and it'll be all over.
I think we heard him just say there, though, that he wants to run as congressman, but if the opportunity happens that he could get this sort of chance to be in that position, that he'd jump at it.
Yes.
And that's a pretty special thing to be considered for.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about it.
As a kid who grew up in the Air Force, he's like, you know, there's a guy that, you know, one day you would become the Secretary of the Air Force. And Secretary of the Air Force is, the secretaries are civilians.
Mm-hmm.
They're not military. They can be former military, but they're not active duty military. They wear suits, not uniforms.
So, is it a budgeting role, or is it a what kind of a
you represent the Air Force to the government? So mm-hmm. you're a secretary. You're a cabinet level secretary.
Got it.
And you then you report to the Joint Chiefs mm-hmm. for budgeting purposes, and you report to Congress and to the executive branch as a as the representative, civilian representative of the of that branch of the military. It's always how those have been done.
Mm-hmm.
Those secretary
mm-hmm.
gigs have been done. So you got Secretary of Army, Secretary of the Navy, Secretary of the Air Force.
So you'd represent budgeting concerns, but also any other concerns that would.
No, you run the whole damn.
You run the whole thing.
You're the civilian in charge.
Gosh, that's crazy.
Then you've got the chairman You've got the Joint Chiefs, so you got the Chief of the Air Force, and that's part of the Joint Chiefs. This is separate. This would be a. We were just saying, Adam, we got you on a better phone now.
The role.
That you'd wear a suit to work. You don't wear a uniform.
Yeah. If you were to wear a suit to work, and, you know, I'd still walk around with the swagger of a pilot, of course. But, yeah, it's a cool position. It's you know, you look at it, you're technically under the Secretary of Defense. You're the, you know, the military obviously is under civilian leadership, and so you do a lot of the policy and ceremonial stuff. So, you know, it's definitely something I think, you know, would be cool if I was offered it. I can't go into any conversations.
Yeah, I understand.
But,
I'm playing a little fantasy game here, because I remember when you were, you know, I think you were a taxi driver when I first met you. So
Come a long way.
Yeah. So,
yeah,
so
I was driving you home from the bar at 4 a.m.
Oh, tell.
You know what? In my book, I'm going to write the real true story of what happened that night. Like when the FBI shows up and goes, what is it that you know about Congressman Kinzinger? I'm going to go, I've had a head injury, so I can't really recall.
Recall, not good.
So anyway, this is very, very exciting.
It is.
We'll see. I mean, I don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse here, but I think it's a pretty cool thing. All right, let's talk a little bit about what happened in Congress over the last couple of hours. First of all, the House Judiciary Committee has voted along party lines to hold the Attorney General in contempt. Now, that goes to the full House for a vote. You know, Eric Holder was under contempt for like 5 straight years, right?
Yeah.
For something. I mean, sometimes these moves are pretty political. Do you think this makes much of a difference?
No, and I think it's a political move. And here's, you know, you look at this. He agreed to come testify, and then the Democrats, I've never seen this happen in the House. They said, we're going to have lawyers ask you questions. By the way, lawyers they hired for the purpose of impeachment. And he said, look, you're changing the game on me, so I can't testify, but I want to continue negotiation. And they're like, no, we'll just hold you in contempt. And, you know, this is at the peril, Democrats' own peril, because I think, you know, if they get too deep down this kind of impeachment rabbit hole or holding everybody in contempt, I think there's a lot of Mueller/investigation fatigue, and that's the danger they run. You know, look at it. It's like, hey, you guys run the House, so do what you want. But I think this is at your own peril.
Does it start to make him look bad in the eyes of some people who, there's potentially more investigations underway that his office would head up, and that this somehow taints his reputation? Is that?
Are you talking about William Barr?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to change. We are so polarized that, you know, the people that like Trump and like William Barr will like William Barr. The people that don't, won't. And I don't think there's much in this moment, and it's sad, and it really does concern me, that can change people's minds. And, you know, as a guy that tries to be, you know, look, I'm a conservative Republican. I try to be, so I look at it through that lens, but I try to be as kind of calling balls and strikes as I can out here. We need more of that. We're just in a moment where I don't think anything is going to change people's opinions on this. And I think, again, the Democrats run the risk of, you know, Russia Mueller fatigue and people looking at going, well, what are you achieving? I mean, today we voted on basically nothing, and that's how it's been the last few months here, because they've been focused on one thing. And Mueller didn't give them the report they wanted, and they weren't going to let that stop.
Right. Well, and that's – well, I don't know – I would disagree with you on that. I'm not sure that Mueller didn't give them the report that they wanted. I think that he didn't give them the outcome that they were necessarily looking for, but he did give them a report, and the 4-page summary of that report doesn't really capture it in its full glory.
No, but now you have the report. Like, I get the 4-page summary, but that was a letter that existed without the report for like a week, and now the report's out.
Right.
And by the way, on the redactions, there's a significantly less redacted report that was offered for Jerry Nadler to come view, and he's refused to go view it. And there's got to be some redactions, and what they're saying is, well, I want a completely unredacted report. Well, that violates federal law. You can't do that.
Yeah. Listen, again, as you're pointing out, it's just it's Looney Tunes over there.
Yeah,
I don't know if
since
you are, since there is this conversation around you maybe moving to, you know, the Pentagon, I'll ask you, maybe you can't comment on it, but the situation where we're moving the fleet to the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Aden, trying to make sure that the Straits of Hormuz stay open. Because the Iranians, I guess we found the Iranians moving ballistic missile material.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's the right move. We got intelligence that there was at least what I've seen in open source, that there was movements of short-range missiles to basically obstruct the Straits of Hormuz. And if you look at that, if the Iranians shut down that strait, it immediately stops 30% of oil exports. It would be devastating to the energy markets. And that's international waters. It's not their waters. So it's been a threat they've been saying a long time, and there's a real concern that they would actually try to do that. And I think responding to something like that with strength actually prevents, you know, a chance of fighting more than if you would have responded with weakness.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. It seems to be getting hotter, not cooler out there
everywhere,
right now. Yeah, for sure. All right, Congressman, thank you very much.
Thanks, Congressman.
You bet.
All right, thank you.
Sorry for the phone problem. Yeah, take care.
No worry. Put your shirt back on. Thanks, Mike.
I will.
We need an undersecretary. Ro Khan might be available.
Don't worry.
You didn't hear that.
No. Right. He's heard it already. you don't have to worry about that. All right, let's check in now and find out what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Another victim recovered at the site of the plant explosion in Waukegan.
Lawrence Traffic brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. It's a Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis on WGN Everywhere.
We're everywhere.
Yeah, these early starts on the... it's not really the East Coast.
Isn't
Cleveland.
That kind of strange? I still don't quite understand why it's in Cleveland. It's not like the West Coast or some other strange time zone. It's Cleveland. Why is a Cleveland game this early?
It starts at 6 o'clock Cleveland time.
Right.
And 5 o'clock Chicago time. Why? I don't know.
You can't explain that, Rokon?
They don't have a life in Cleveland, I think is what we just learned. Kev, why don't you explain it?
Yeah, we'll go with that. That's really all I got. I don't have a full-blown explanation.
Lauren, you got anything for us on that?
Is there a 6-10 store that I don't know about? Like 7-Eleven used to be our sponsor.
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't think there is, though.
6-10. Got to head down to the 6-10, pick up a Slurpee and some eggs.
You know, we're sometimes open.
Well, like in Oregon, wouldn't it be the at 4:20? Because that's what beat it.
Probably.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
total
game's
sense.
Starting at 4:20.
Yeah. Spark up at 4:20 watching baseball.
Yeah. It makes baseball interesting. It's kind of cool.
Could do that in Illinois soon. We've got the bill that's going to be passed, potentially.
Yeah. Yes, that
start
is.
Start a Cubs game or a Sox game at 4:20. Could work here, too.
Anyway, I don't know. Just to get back to answering the initial question.
Nothing. We've got nothing.
I think that they only do half-day work in Cleveland anyway.
Yeah, no one works there.
They get there by 6 o'clock, and they're home by 9:30.
They're lazy people.
Right. They want to get home for the second hour of American Idol.
Oh, gee.
So, according to this report a couple of years, the idea was that it would keep more people in the city going to games instead of leaving the city entirely. So, basically, people going straight from work straight to the game. It's an attendance thing for them, I guess.
Oh.
They've been doing it for a few years.
Let me do some research.
Wow. Yeah, I know. A lot of research. Took me, 10 seconds.
The Schmoogle?
Yeah. The Schmoogle. Which kind of makes sense, because Cleveland is so... I mean, it's different here. If you go to Wrigley, it's not like you can just walk outside your office in the loop and be at Wrigley. At Cleveland, you kind of can.
Right.
You can walk across the street and be inside the ballpark in 5 minutes.
Bars probably don't like that. They probably got that nice kind of post-work overflow and then...
Yeah, but here's what you got, though. You got that street that's right there. I mean, I don't know why I'm trying to help Cleveland out here. What have they ever done for us?
No.
But... They,
we get some cheddar from the city of Cleveland here, or what?
Yeah, they let us get a win against the Browns sometimes.
That's true.
Everybody gets it. Well, not anymore, though. Browns are hot.
The Bears-Browns Super Bowl? I'd love to see that.
It's a possibility. It is a possibility.
It is. They're looking pretty good.
Yeah. So
I guess that's what it is. Because the way Cleveland's structured and the fact that people can actually walk out of their office and walk to the ballpark. It's not exactly the same in New York or Chicago or some other big town.
Walk out of Key Bank. That's where everybody works in Cleveland. Key Bank.
There you go.
And then because there's like four different Key Bank towers in Cleveland. They go, where is it? It's near the Key Bank Tower. Well, this is the Key Bank. Oh, no, the other Key Bank Tower.
You know, Cleveland gets a bad reputation. I like Cleveland, at least the brief time I spent there.
Right.
I didn't think it was all that bad. I mean, the thing is, you probably aren't going to spend a whole lot of time there because you can probably see most of the town in about 48 hours.
48 minutes.
Yeah, 48
right.
minutes.
I mean, there's you can walk the town in 48 minutes.
It felt like we saw it all.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh, is that the KeyBank Tower? Yeah, that's the KeyBank Tower.
Which one?
That's I don't know. All right. We live in Chicago, though.
Yeah.
And Chicago has great moments, and it's got some tough moments. And nobody knows that better than Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson. And he's joining us right now.
Nice.
And Superintendent, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I know you sat down with Mayor-elect Lightfoot to talk about some summer strategies. And it would be, and I think a lot of us, you know, who've been covering this town for a long time, and obviously you've been working the streets for decades now.
Yeah.
We all know that this, you know, we're entering, especially now in May, and it gets a little warmer, we're entering into what some people call the killing season. And then you also have downtown issues and some, you know, issues in all the neighbors, not just people shooting at each other, but all kinds of stupid things, because the kids are out of school, too.
Right.
What are some new strategies that you guys are thinking of employing?
Well, I can give you an overall viewpoint of it. We're not going to give the specifics out until probably Memorial Day. But in general, I think one of the things that's going to help, and, you know, we've been working on this summer plan since about February, you know, so we briefed the current mayor, you know, weekly on where we are with it, and then now we've briefed the mayor-elect on it. So I think two things that are going to be key is having our federal partners engage more in the summer initiatives. So I think that's a good thing. And then the second key piece, I think, is we're going to involve community stakeholders a lot more, because I think at the end of the day, you know, the answer isn't to lock up all these kids. You know, the answer is to give them alternatives to causing mayhem, you know, when they go around. And let's face it, not all of them are in that ilk, but the ones that are, then we have to deal with them accordingly.
But you also get kids to get wrapped up in this, too. I mean, let's talk just a little bit. We don't have to get into strategy of how you deal with this, but I mean, our experience for the last 10 years when you get large groups of kids coming down, primarily on CTAs, primarily on the trains, coming down and en masse getting off at Chicago Avenue or getting off at Division or getting off at Grand and, you know, getting out onto the street and moving in large numbers. And some of them are just out to move in large numbers and, you know, to create havoc. And this is all organized on social media.
Yeah, a lot of it is, and that's the problem, because with social media, they can ramp up the numbers, you know, in 15 minutes if they want to. You know, and, you know, you hit it right on the head. A lot of them gather in large groups sometimes to come down there and commit nefarious acts, or sometimes just to be in large groups. And what happens is that, I'll give you a perfect example. This last time around, five or six of them start running around down there. And then for some reason, all of them want to start running. So it looks a lot crazier than it actually is, you know, but we do have those in the groups that are causing issues, you know, committing batteries and thefts and things of that nature. But I think that as a city, we have to come together and, you know, at the end of the day, it's between right and wrong. And so if you're committing things that are wrong, then you have to suffer the consequences for it.
You got a new mayor coming in with her own ideas and certainly a resume of dealing and understanding police issues and community issues, and you have a consent decree, and there are do you see many changes, or what would you say are the challenges as you move to the summertime, a critical time for police and communities alike?
Yeah, you know, with the consent decree, of course, you know, we're in the midst of that now. So we really have to be mindful about constitutional policing. And I tell you all this. This is what kind of tickles me about this situation. You know, we get criticized if we do too much, and then we get criticized for not doing enough. You know, and to be perfectly honest, you know, these types of things is not a police issue. We're the law enforcement arm, of course, but that's really our lane. You know, so I think the critical issues I see coming up is, you know, giving people alternatives, you know, and just messaging out, letting them know definitively, if you come down anywhere in the city, downtown, north side, west side, south side, it doesn't matter. If you come there and you commit crimes, you will be dealt with. You know, just recently, the state's attorney and I got together to talk about what we were going to do in the event these things occurred during the summertime. And she's on board with exactly what CPD envisions. And I'm not going to give you all the specifics now, but I think you'll find we're thinking out of the box with this thing, and we'll be announcing it shortly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really the issue. I mean, you are caught between the two hardest places you possibly can, because you've got to find a way to stop people who are up to no good, and there's a lot of them. And you know, I always like to describe this to people who, you know, are trying to understand Chicago. Maybe they're not from here, or maybe they're from the suburbs, and they think that Chicago is one gigantic, you know, crime scene, you know,
and it's not.
I mean, it's, you know, I mean, we know that the statistic is that 80% of the crime happen 8% of the blocks in Chicago. I mean, you think about that, and violent crime, and so that's a very, very important and telling statistic. But the other thing that is important and telling about that, Superintendent, is that when you, like, when civilians, people that are not known to these, you know, primarily young men, but there's a lot of young women involved in it now too, but when you're driving down the block, if they don't know who you are, they don't see you. You're invisible to them. They know who it is that they have a beef with. You know, they know who it is who, if they come down that block, they're going to get shot at. And it's it's happening on social media, that, you know, the beefs, the grudges are being developed there. They're interpersonal stuff, drug deals going back, all these, you know, whatever it happens to be. Some guys sleeping with one other guy's wife or girlfriend or whatever the deal is. And then the next thing you know, shots are fired. It's like an almost impossible thing unless you get into the social media overlay of it. It's almost impossible. You try to be predictive, right? You have software that tries to do that, but what else can you do?
That's exactly right. You know, so I think moving forward, the police, we're doing a lot. Of course, we can always do better. But I think at the same time, we have to hold people accountable that can help do something about this. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, there's a lot of root causes of crime. You know, and I tell people all the time, this stuff starts at home. So what we need is for parents to be better at parenting. And if they cannot be, and we know that, then we have a responsibility to help them learn how to be better parents. But if we parented our own homes, then that home gets better. And if everybody on that block does that, then that block gets better. And then if everybody on that block and the next block do it, then the community gets better. So everybody has a vested interest to do their part to reduce this crime in Chicago.
Yeah. You've seen other, I mean, I don't think it's an understatement to say there's a bit of a rift between police organizations and Kim Fox's office, and I don't mean to speak for you, I mean the FOP, you've seen the suburban police organizations very strongly coming out about her her decision to take a different approach on nonviolent crimes and not prosecute them to the level they've been prosecuted in the past. And some police chiefs in the suburbs, and certainly some FOP members, have said that that promotes lawlessness on our streets and they don't like it. Would you agree with that?
Well, what I'll say, you know, my colleagues have a right to their opinion. I think we have to strike that balance between holding people accountable, especially for violent crimes. The lower level stuff, depending on what it is, there still has to be a consequence. We have to figure out a way to prevent them from doing that. You know, if people think they can walk around with impunity, you know, when they're committing any crimes, of course that's going to make it worse. You know, so I think we just need to sit down as a group and figure out what is the best solution. But I do know this. If there's not a consequence for your actions, then people continue those actions until they get tired of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Until the consequence.
The word gets out, doesn't it? If you can run into a store and steal stuff and then you get away with it and you do it again and you get away with it, I think people understand that they can do that, and it's
exactly
wrong.
So we have to figure out what's the balance. But at the very least, they should be arrested and have to go see a judge. And you know, it could be something as simple as making them, forcing them to do community service for 3 weekends in a row. But there has to be some consequence. You know, now I don't concur with the idea that somebody that steals a loaf of bread should spend more time in jail pre-trial than a gun offender. That's ridiculous.
Right. Yeah,
you know, but we have to figure this out. And I think, you know, rather than attacking each other, we need to sit down and have some candid conversation and try to find a middle ground.
Well, I think that was the thing that drove. I thought you did an amazing job, Superintendent, yep, around the whole Jussie Smollett thing, because it was one of those moments where, I mean, I could just imagine what you and your guys around you must have thought at that moment, where all of a sudden you got this guy who's trying to use, you know, like a jiu-jitsu movie, trying to use, you know, the weight of the negative publicity that surrounds the Chicago Police Department and has for the last 4 or 5 years, and he tries to use the weight of that to try to better his career, and then to have it just, you know, not just disappear, but disappear in a really sort of mysterious way at the Cook County State Attorney's level. It's right. Like, you're like, wait a second. And the thing is that of all of the different reputational issues that this city has and the Chicago Police Department has, there, you know, and we try very hard here to tell as many stories as we can about when things go right, you know.
Right.
And there's a lot of stories to tell. Every day there are dozens upon dozens upon dozens of stories where things go right. But it's just not enough, and it doesn't beat out the stuff that is truly
right.
bad, because it's a power dynamic. But
right.
You know what? You stood up for you know, those 13,000 sworn on, you know, under your command, mm-hmm. and I just thought that was a moment. It was something that had to be said, and you said it in a way. There have been a lot of superintendents, you know, over the last number of years, and you know, some are better communicators than others. But you said it in such a heartfelt
yep.
way of, you know, that wasn't like, you know, a cop with a gigantic mustache pointing his finger at me. That was that was a human being saying, hey, my colleagues who put their life on the line every freaking day
yeah,
to get out there, they deserve better than this.
Yeah, and our city, to be quite honest, deserves better than this. You know, we can make our own headlines. We've never had a problem with that. So I think, you know, for someone to manufacture a headline for us is just wrong on so many levels. And, you know, at the end of the day, we try to do the right thing. It doesn't always happen like that in this city. But I just think to use something like that to paint this city in a negative fashion is just wrong.
Yeah.
All
right, well, we wish you the best of luck as this thing moves forward now into the summer.
And
yeah, I appreciate it.
Obviously, you know, not just that, but there's also, you know, obviously in the neighborhoods there are issues, and even in places, I think that's one of the things that are making a lot of Chicagoans nervous, is that it's spreading out again. Even targeted attacks are spreading out, because guys, and this has been going on a long time, but it's getting more attention now. You know, guys try to move out of the neighborhood because they know they're going to get shot at in their own
right.
neighborhood, right? So they go to another neighborhood and they think, oh, well, they won't find me up here, but they're on social media going, hey, I'm going to be at the Argyle stop in an hour,
yep.
you know, and the next thing you know, shots are fired, and it's like, what this point is really an important one. We do need to hold not just these individuals, but their families and the entire group think of that element of Chicago criminal. These are people who just want to do the wrong thing all day long. They get up wanting to do the wrong thing. That's
right.
How they were raised. That's how they. That's how they make their money. That's how they stay alive.
Right.
And until we can somehow come up with the algorithm, come up with the solution to break that up, to break up that mindset.
Yep.
You know, we're fighting an uphill battle.
That's exactly right, because the police, we have a part to play in all this, but at the end of the day, we have to figure out ways to settle the root causes of what happens with this stuff. Because I can tell you this, Ro, you know, out of the criminals that we have in Chicago, there's just a small subsection of them that are just hardcore criminals that I don't care what we do, what we offer them, that's between them and their God. But a lot of them, if we offer them alternative paths in life and show them how to get there, they'll take it. You know, because that's pressure when you have to come out of your house every day and you got to worry about the police, the stick-up man, or rival gang. That's pressure. You know, so a lot of them do it to you know, for all sorts of reasons. But I think we just, as a city and as a country, to be quite honest, because we're not the only ones suffering
right.
with this stuff, you know, we have to come up with reasonable solutions to show people an alternative path. Now, once we throw it out there and they don't accept it, then you get what you get.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That is for sure.
Yeah, I know. And you know that better than anybody. All right. Superintendent Eddie Johnson. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your service to the city.
Thank you all for having me.
All right.
All right.
All right. Let's check in now with Kim, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
A member of the Trump family subpoenaed to testify in front of a Senate committee.
Oh, no. Melania?
No.
Oh,
guess
okay.
Again.
Barron?
Nope.
Okay.
A little older.
Let's see here. Tiffany.
Getting warm.
Tiffany?
Not
Tiffany?
Getting warmer.
No?
Getting warmer.
Where is Tiffany these days? We don't hear from her.
She graduated with honors from Penn. By the way, I'd like to look into the Lori Loughlin sort of situation that happened there.
You think?
Yeah. I have my own thoughts about that. All right. I think I know who it is, but I'll let you do it at the top of the hour. Is it the Rokonch with Anna DeBlanc?
It is.
Is it still on WGN is. Everywhere?
Everywhere. Mm-hmm. We're everywhere.
Is Archie the new seventh in line to the throne?
Archie still is, and we've confirmed it is not Archibald. It is Archie. Just Archie. Archie Harrison. But he does have a fancy name anyway. Mountbatten. Windsor.
I think a lot of people are going to start naming their dogs Archie.
Well, you know,
as a result
funny.
Of this.
Yeah, there are quite a few people who have already spotlighted their dog's name Archie.
Mm-hmm. That's a good name for a dog.
It kind of is, right?
I don't know about
Max,
a prince.
Archie. Right? They're popular names. It's cute.
Archie's got to be a popular dog name.
Got to be, yeah.
That's right up dog name alley.
Yeah, right. And that's a funny thing. It's a very popular human name in England. So what we've just learned is it's a popular... Look this up. What are the what are the top 10 boys' names and girls' names in England for children? And I will bet you that they match... pretty closely, the top 10 pet names in America.
Oh, my gosh, that's probably true. Let's see here.
Because it just is a, you know, just is one of those things.
It totally is. It's in the top 20 in the UK, Archie.
Archie?
Yeah, but let me just find the list here.
Because Max, Spike, Petunia. I don't know about that last one, but it just sounded right.
Right. That's got to be up there.
Petunia. That probably is that well, I, like, for a goldfish.
I would like to meet my goldfish, Petunia. She's 6 years old.
How do you know?
How would you
know? I don't actually know.
They're suggesting that it's going to be the most popular name in the UK. Because, as you know, when you name a young royal,
That's how that Beatrix thing happened.
Right. Oh, that's right. You see so many.
And Eugenia, or whatever her name was.
Beatrice increased by 136% in the decade after her birth.
Beatrice or Beatrix? Because she was Beatrix.
Which one's...
Which I thought, now what are you going to call her? And when she,
Beatrix,
when she was like
right.
16 years old, she's Trixie.
Hey, you know, Trixie. Like,
hey, Trix. Right. Hey, how's Trix? Hey,
and then she became a stripper.
Right. I mean, it was... although she just... Didn't she just, like, take up landmines or something? Didn't she just do one of those things that they like to do? Where they put on a... They get a car antenna and they go out into, like, you know, some dirt patch with a hard hat on and stick the antenna in the ground. And then they go, look at us! We're saving the world! Thank you and goodbye! I don't know, maybe an oversimplification.
Popular names on the list are...
For pets? I mean, for humans.
For humans right. In the UK.
Okay.
You've got Cole.
Come here, Cole. Come here, Cole. Here, boy. That's a good name for a black lab, isn't it? Cole?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Like that.
Alfred.
Right. Alfred. That's a good, like, boxer
Schnauzer.
Name. Your Schnauzer. I mean, Schnauzer Alfred. Alfred!
Reese. Rowan.
Oh, wait. Don't do that one. It's too close. Yeah.
Rowan's my granddaughter.
Oh,
You've
got Connor. Jax, that's up there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good name.
J-A-X?
We actually, Richard Roper's dog is Jax.
Yeah.
That's so true. Grayson.
Grayson, another one right there.
Mm-hmm.
Grayson, sit!
That doesn't sound...
Grayson.
Jax is perfect for a dog name.
Yeah.
Totally. And Jasper and Dominic.
Jasper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jasper, come here, Jasper. Come on, boy. Who's a good boy, Jasper? Who's a good boy?
Sit, Jasper. Hudson.
Hudson.
Yep. That works.
Hudson, come. Hudson! Hudson, get back here!
Yeah, so Eli, Eric. You've got those are very common names everywhere. Lincoln. That's up there.
I have a cousin with a dog named Lincoln.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
After Abe?
I don't know if it's after Abe, after Lincoln Park, well, after
yeah, I guess Lincoln Park, the hotel. Yeah.
Who was also named after the president.
Yeah, no, we didn't name it after the president. We named it after the hotel.
You just never know.
We named it after the park. We didn't name it after the president.
But, yeah,
but there's a statue of that guy in that park. I don't know what that's all about.
Arthur and Oscar are up there, too. Oscar's a
yeah. Oh, come on. That's right, up, that's right up there for the
Oscar! Oscar, did you just poop, Oscar?
Ro, I feel like you're always yelling at dogs.
I know. Well, he's got a grand puppy now, and he needs to be trained.
I do. I mean, listen, there's all kinds of... I talk to him all the time.
Young man, take a seat. I have thoughts.
Yeah, well, and he does. And he sits there, and he looks at me. He's Ernest. He's Ernie.
Ernest.
Oh, that's a good dog name.
Oh, Ernie is a good name.
So, and he just looks at me, and he does that thing that, I guess, the English... The English bulldog is known for many things. Most of them are diseases and
respiratory problems.
Right, and some sort of and critical medical issues. That's what they're most known for. But they
no wonder he's your grand dog.
Right. Oh, he's perfect. Oh my God, we sit around, we discuss symptoms. Does that really hurt? It's like his eyes popping out of his head and I'm like, "Are you okay?
Did you try licking it, Ro?" That's what I like to do.
I can't reach. I tried. I can't reach. Anyway, so and he does that thing where you're talking to him and he tilts his head. You know, like that whole like, you know, I'm trying here. I think you're saying something. I think I'm supposed to understand what you're saying. Maybe eventually I will. But in the meantime, I'm just going to sit here and tilt my head. And then it turns the other way. Like I start saying, and then he turns it and tilts again. And okay, I think I'm getting through to him. And then I realize, no. He's just going, yeah, I think I got to stretch this way. Yeah, okay, I got it.
So how's the training going?
He's pretty good. He's gotten, he's really good with the, like anybody gives a crap about this, but he's good with the, speaking of that, he's good with the crapping. He's good, he knows how to go outside and do all that stuff. But he's, they don't, the one thing about that breed, they don't do a whole lot. They sit around and they think. There's a lot of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He did figure out how to escape from his crate.
Oh.
He learned how to unlock his crate.
That's pretty serious talent.
I know.
They make those crates pretty unbreakable.
He figured
can't
it
break out.
Out
of them.
Figured it out.
Yeah. That's
we have it
remarkable.
on a Nest camera.
Do you have like a pet? They have a pet cam.
They have a pet cam, yeah.
So they can watch what he's doing.
Yeah. And they saw him escape. So he all of a sudden, they put him down in the, in his crate down in the first floor, and then somehow he ended up at the top of the house, and they're like, hey, how did that happen? And then they went back and they scoped the camera. It was like, it's like what Tom Dart does at county jail all the time, because he's got about
what's
three,
he doing?
He gets three or four of those a day that are just, you know, they get out, and he so they did, and there was a blanket over the this is the funniest thing, and there's a microphone, you can hear it, and you can hear like there's like this like crunching and like a metal on metal sound. He like had a nail file or something. I don't know what the hell he did. And then you hear like bang, bang, and then he emerges from out underneath the blanket. And you're like, this, it was like a magic freaking trick.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That's huge.
I don't even know what it is.
Did he detach like the metal part from the plastic bottom, like lift it up?
He was able to work the little knobby deal with his mouth.
So the actual door to the
yeah,
cage was
he worked the knob, and I saw him practicing it earlier. You know, it's like Shawshank. You know, it's like, you know, he was going out in the yard and dropping the dirt. You know,
put a poster over a certain part of his cage.
Yeah, and it was
poster in there, buddy.
It was funny because I had the crate in my house for a while, and he was constantly chewing on that part of the little knob thing.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is he doing?
He's collecting rocks when you take him for a walk.
Right. And I'm like, why is there something about this? And now all of a sudden I see his master plan was an escape.
Uh-huh.
That's all those rocks were
I'm going to call Dart and have him watch him. Although, it's I don't think Dart's going to help. I'll be honest. I don't think that's because I love when those guys escape from county jail.
Uh-huh.
And then there was one a couple of weeks ago who got onto escaped from a courtroom, actually, from the county courthouse. He was a guy awaiting, something. And he gets out on a fire escape and he goes right by a, one of the Cook County Sheriff's, you know, court employee guys.
Oh my gosh.
Who's on a smoking break out on the fire escape.
Oh, whoops.
No. The guy goes right by him. Like, no problem. I think it actually was a woman, which is how that probably happened. It was a woman who's, you know, trying to get away. And she just, and gets right around the guy. And because he's out there not doing the right thing either. He's not supposed to be on the fire escape having a cigarette.
Texter is like, maybe Ro just doesn't know how to lock the crate properly.
I had nothing to do with it. It was not on your watch. No, but the point is, I watched him plan this.
Yeah.
I saw him practicing it.
Sure.
I didn't report that properly.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, Archie may be a new dog name in the U.S. and a new baby name in the U.K.
I don't think it's going to. I don't think Archie's going to take off as a human name here.
Yeah, it doesn't. You think of the Archies in American culture. You have the Archie Bunker is there, and then there's the Archie of, what is it, Riverdale High from the comic books.
Well, that's the same. Oh,
Archie Griffin.
Archie, right.
Right. Right. So they're just not as. I don't know.
Archie definitely going to be a big dog name here.
Yes. It's a cute name.
Right.
It's cute. It's like, I don't know, if, you know.
But it makes you want to pet the baby, not, like, take care of it.
Right. So. Right. Well, I mean, it's, little Archie, you know. Oh, little Archie.
It's one of those names that works on a kid, but then you wonder as an adult. Right. You always called Archie. Right. You think about that as a parent when you're naming your kid. You're like, oh, that's cute, but I don't know. When they grow up, do they want to be called that? Like, not have a full name?
Do you think the queen was like, what the hell kind of name is that? Oh, they did use your uncle's name on Button. Oh, so what? I knew that when Charles married that trollop, there was going to be trouble.
Oh, gosh.
The next thing you know, I've got a child, I've got a black great-granddaughter named Archie. I don't think it's a granddaughter. I think it's a grandson, and I'm not sure. Black. I'll take a look again, though.
Why do they all sound drunk? And like Johnny Depp. You noticed that, too?
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, you do it, then. You do Prince Philip. I'd like to hear yours, and then we'll go from there. All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon and find out what's going on in the newsroom. Of Lodges on WGN everywhere. We do a top 5 every day.
Sure do.
Get through that. Get through our most important duties of the day. There's, you know, one thing that America has asked of us, and that is to deliver a top 5 at 5.
That's right. It's a call to duty.
Mm-hmm. It's the one thing. I get so many people stopping me in airports and saying, mm-hmm. thank you for your service to 5.
There you go. See? It's appreciated. Mm-hmm. It's nice to feel appreciated for your service.
Yeah.
My days feel empty without it. Sunday goes by. What am I missing?
But then you get the tick, 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 tick of 60 minutes. You get the Sunday scaries right at that moment.
So true.
Right there. You hear the tick, 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 tick. Oh, no, no,
the weekend's over.
Oh, ow.
Ow. It does.
Ow.
Everything but then you get hurts. Game of Thrones after Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. What's going to happen on this one? Second to last one is mm-hmm. Sunday.
Right.
So.
Another like 80 minute long one.
Do you know how long the last one is?
I think it's 79 minutes is what I remember when we were talking about it last time.
So everything's 80 minutes. It's like a lot of, that's, you know, it's a lot going on here.
And the new thing is that Game of Thrones fans are convinced Daenerys' dragon secretly had babies.
That's what I was just told.
Yeah.
I didn't hear
Changes
this.
Your world.
My right. sources are telling
what
me.
What the hell are you doing? Spoiler alert!
It's just a theory.
No.
Nobody knows.
Well, why would they have had babies? Who are they having babies with?
Each other.
Well, one of them disappeared. Is one male and one female? Or one
how would we know? How do you know with the dragon? And who are they sending to go figure that out? The Hound? Send that guy?
I don't know. All right,
God wants you to go look between the dragon's legs and let's see what's going on. What are we working with down there?
It's also weird that they lay eggs.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
I think I brought that up the other day and I was completely yelled at by Lauren and Anna.
No, yeah. Well,
they're like, you're an idiot, Kevin.
Something else. But I'm saying, you know, they seem very mammal-y.
They seem very what, mammally?
Yeah. I mean, I get they're reptilian, but still, I don't know.
It's like dinosaurs. They lay eggs, so it's the...
Yeah. Yeah. It's an egg.
The dragons.
Right. The reptiles, and it comes out of an egg, right?
Mm-hmm. It's strange.
Yeah. I don't know. All I know is that that now all of a sudden I'm thinking about it, and then, oh, God, that would be, like, there must be a deleted scene of dragon sex then. Imagine how expensive that CGI was to get the dragons.
Did they blow fire during it?
I would say that, I hope not, that I would say that there is probably, you know, like when you get animals that are, you know, mating, it takes like 14 seconds, not even. It's like 3 seconds.
Have you watched those videos?
I have. I've seen mating at the zoo, and in the horse business. I'm telling you,
the zoo.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You ever seen? Yeah.
I haven't.
Really? Oh, when I used to go, you know, you go on field trips when you're a kid, and that was like all you hope for. Like, wow, that'd be so funny.
The fact that you can even see an animal is usually a win.
That's
big.
That's true.
And then you hope that they start, you know.
Yeah. What?
No, I don't hope. I don't hope that either. Actually, not at all.
What do you mean? It was always like, dude, this could be so funny if they start, you know.
Oh, my God.
I was in the children's zoo once when I was a kid, and two, like, marmosets or something. I don't know. Two furry things on the ground. I don't know what the hell they were. They could have been raccoons. It could have been skunks. I don't know. But, you know, one jumped on the other, and it was like a jackhammer. It was like a 3-second jackhammer. And then they moved on. And
done
exactly what it was like. And I'm like, wait a second. First of all, how did it move that fast?
I think a lot of guys can relate to that.
And then it was like, and they just kind of parted ways. Like nothing ever happened.
There's nothing to see here. It was way longer than 3 seconds.
It meant more for her than it did for him. Him. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, more for him than it did for her. Pretty much, I guess. Right, and then you know, the female's like looking around going, did my husband see that? Was that my husband? Am I married? There's a marmoset. What legal rights do I have as a marmoset?
So did you ask your teacher what was going on there, and everyone just stare? Like, how did that go down?
Like at the children's zoo, like you walk over a bridge, and they got like animals underneath you, you know, like little, you know, forest like animals. And I'm walking over the bridge, and I look down, and you're like, oh no, oh god, oh my god. And it's, and you know, you stop, and I mean, I was at an age where I kind of figured out what was going on.
Yeah, how old were you? 13?
Yeah, 10,
so
maybe.
Nudge your buddy. Did you see that? Was that what I thought it was, man?
12, I don't know, 11, I don't know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
24.
I know, that's right.
Yeah, that looks familiar. So I, you know, and I kind of, you know, I sort of looked, and I'm like, I don't know. But it's like, and then I felt bad, you know, that I was looking. But that's what I would imagine. Back to the Game of Thrones.
That's a private matter. Yeah, I should have seen that.
No, I'm sorry. I want to go apologize to the female, but I didn't know which one it was.
Rose innocent eyes back when he was a child.
Because when they run away from each other, I can't remember which one was on top of which. And I was like, all right, I don't know. And who knows? It might have been one of those animal things where some of them are, you know, where the female's on top.
I don't know. When does that happen?
I'm going to guess in the dragon world. That's what I'm... Or you ever see those movies where, like, the sharks are getting it on?
Sharks?
No.
How do sharks do it?
Oh. Where are you guys seeing all this?
I got on the National Geographic.
Jaws deleted.
Channel 11. This is the only way that Channel 11 lived for years, was showing copulating animals.
And they made it seem like it was very educational.
Right, exactly. And now the male shark takes his position behind the female. Great white. This is quite dangerous. It's like a golf call.
Yeah.
It's quite dangerous as he approaches. She may not distinguish him from a predator. Oh, there it is. Oh, and it's over.
See, it doesn't sound dirty when it's said in the golf voice.
Right, exactly.
It's very educational.
That's exactly what it was.
Fun
like.
Fun fact, some sharks also lay eggs. Speaking of laying eggs, people don't often know that, but that is a true fact. But spent a lot of time at the Shedd Aquarium.
But the great white, though, doesn't it? I think the great white does a little
live birth.
It does like a thing, yeah, thingy deal.
I believe they are live births.
Or like dolphins. Race. Dolphins, like, you know, dolphins are horny sons of, you know, they are, they like, you know, that's like a whole other deal.
Having orgies.
Well, and they like go after, like, male dolphins will go after human females.
I've seen that.
Just get on the YouTube, you'll see it.
Yeah, happened to Jennifer Garner while she was shooting a movie.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
Classic get she was by a dolphin.
She was like, you know, playing with the dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, it was a scene in a movie there where the dolphin was supposed to be playing. And the next thing you know, she's like, the dolphin's like, wait, oh, hey. And then she goes, and it just
different
got,
species.
And it got totally warm, like in the water.
Ew.
Right.
Oh, one fact
totally
too many.
Warm. Was it? Listen, that was Jennifer Garner's detail. That was not my detail.
Stacey, you retained that and shared it with the class.
How am I going to get from this to Mike Pompeo? But I'm going to try it anyway.
It's
watch this.
The top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go. 3, 2, 1. Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Get on with it.
Six. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Wait, hold on. Number five.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is in London meeting with the British Foreign Secretary.
Oh, well done. We cannot have a meeting because the royal baby has been born. And the Queen thinks it's black.
Said that the U.S. and Britain are united in their perception of Iran's president and their actions to try to destabilize the Persian Gulf region and maybe oil pipelines.
We're on the side of urging a nation not to underwrite Hezbollah, which presents risks to Israel. We're on the side of values-driven democracy. We're on the side of freedom. We're on the side of creating a nation for the Iranian people. We share the same perception of the Iranian threat, and we are together trying to find new ways to work closely to combat that threat.
You know, this whole idea of values-driven democracy, a little optional on that. I mean, we like the idea of it. No, we're not married to it necessarily.
No.
I mean, you guys might be. We're not. But you guys do you. We'll do us. So, well, we'll see what happens here. We're sending a carrier group. And the Secretary of the Air Force just joined us.
He did. Oh, the soon-to-be, potentially,
yeah.
Secretary of the
Said
Air Force.
He thinks it's a good idea. So
we got that.
Checking in at...
Number four.
New fallout over the Justice Department's handling of the special counsel's report on election interference. The House Judiciary Committee voted along party lines to advance a resolution to hold William Barr, the Attorney General, in contempt of Congress for failing to comply with a subpoena for an unredacted Mueller report. So the chairman of that committee, Jerry Nadler, says that the president's assertion of executive privilege over the report is a clear escalation of his blanket defiance of Congress.
Once it's been published, there is no more privilege because it's done already. Everything we have requested, the unredacted part, all the material in the redacted parts of the Mueller report, all the material that we've requested in the various subpoenas, none of it is privileged because all of it, they waived the privilege by enabling it to go public to Mueller or to whoever. So it's a nonsense claim. We will win these court fights.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it'll take like 2 years to get there, probably.
Right.
Good luck.
And then you got to get Kavanaugh to go along with it on the Supreme Court.
He's not very friendly with the Democrats, I think. That's what I'm told.
Squeak called me. And told me not to go along with this. Along with Booger?
There was Squee. I remember Matt Damon's impersonation of that impression of it.
PJ. There was PJ.
That's right.
Squee. Tom, Mark, Timmy, and Little Dick.
Tobin.
Who? Little Dick.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
We need him that in camp.
You guys, very mature.
That is the kind of Fred Boy thing that could happen.
Right. We're kind of a beer together.
We're going to go, I like beer. Up here? When you're bringing the girls over.
Tom, get some beer. Some cold ones, brother.
Oh, God. Anyway, he's going to be the one that decides. The fate of a nation is going to sit in the hands of PJ and Squeeze's best friend. Oh, God. Oh, God. All right. Checking in.
Number three.
Oh, my gosh. Pull it together. Kevin's face is
hello?
So red right
I know.
Now.
You guys are...
Oh, God.
You've lost it. Seems like PJ and Squeer are closer than you think. No kidding.
PJ and Squeer thought it was really funny, too. Let me give that guy that nickname. Well, they're the ones who did it. All right. Well, what the hell was that? That was the Access Hollywood theme? That's what that was? All right. More than 2 years after losing his morning show job because of an appearance in the infamous Access Hollywood tape, mm-hmm. Billy Bush is going to return to television this fall.
Oh.
He turned from a household recognized TV host to a pariah in 2016. Then he disappeared from the air after, you know, this happened.
I better use some Tic Tacs just in case they start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just like... I don't need to wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
Speaking of PJ and Squeak.
Exactly. That's exactly what PJ said. So, he is going to be hosting, Billy Bush is going to be hosting the new syndicate. Isn't that ironic, too? Sometimes, the names, they basically predict your future. He's going to be hosting a new syndicated entertainment news show, Extra Extra, when it debuts in September. Wasn't Extra, well, Extra was already, there was already Extra,
yeah, there was
right?
Extra.
And then they had that stinger that was Extra Extra, right?
Uh-huh.
So now they're naming a show after a video role. Now, it promises more than a modern edition of the entertainment show currently hosted by Mario Lopez. I don't know what that means.
Is Mario Lopez currently on Extra?
He's on Extra, yes.
Yeah.
Right. And his biceps.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah, what does modern mean? Like,
I think it's going to be a lot more like social media. You know, like, it's probably going to be... more pictures from Instagram. I think that's going to be the idea, is that if you didn't see this on Instagram, we're going to show it to you on television. And then we're going to charge you advertisers.
But no hidden video recordings. So.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what Billy... I don't know. You know, the people who know Billy Bush say he's a really nice guy.
Right. I've heard that, too. It's kind of how he's been able to secure so many big interviews, such as Ryan Lochte, is because he kind of hangs out with these guys and is just sort of this fun guy to be around.
The problem with the Billy Bush thing, and no one expected him to tell Trump, no, just you, wait a minute, sir.
That's the thing is, I was not very hard on him because I felt like this is why he's so successful. He got Ryan Lochte to basically admit things to him, and he got the future president of the United States to talk based on sort of, you know, just kind of right, going
making
along
people
with it.
Feel comfortable.
Right. Making them feel comfortable and just let them talk and be themselves.
Yeah. And that, but it was that laugh, I think, that got us all, like, because we've also gotten to know, we had a different perspective on Trump after this whole last couple of years. Remember when this came out, you know, we'd already had over a year of him with the, you know, coming down the escalator and calling the Mexicans rapists and the kind of crazy stuff that he had done.
Mm-hmm.
So he had changed from just being, you know, a billionaire playboy jag. To now being like a political partisan tough guy, you know, sort of, you know, dictatory kind of guy, and so that's he has that presence about him. He walks around with his chin up. It's all, you know, sort of like there's no sense of humor about himself. He wants to take out anybody who disagrees with him, you know, those kinds of things. And so it changed our perception of Donald Trump went from goof to dangerous. And then when Billy Bush is just laughing at him, you know, like kind of going along chortling, and that whole what he was saying, and that's the thing. Remember what happened? And I don't want to get serious here, but remember when that happened, there were so many women who came out and go, you know, that's happened to me. You know, that is not a necessarily an unusual circumstance for women to find themselves.
No, it's not. But I would say, and I know a lot of people pretended this wasn't the case at the time, I would say that a lot of men have used that word and said it, and in a disparaging way, many times.
Yeah. No, and it's grabbing them part.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but it's like, it's one thing to say.
There's some verb in front of it. I mean, it just...
All of it was bad.
All of it was bad.
All of it was bad.
Right. But it's it was like, I think that's what got everybody, you know, was the notion that he was just going to go up and grab somebody. And women
get away with
them. Yeah. And women who've, because he's Donald Trump, and women who've experienced that, you know, by people who are not Donald Trump, but just some, you know, jerk in a bar or in a crowd or in any other, you know, that's what really became a moment, I think, for men and women in America, just turn around and look at that, and then all of a sudden there's Billy Bush chortling during it, and this, and that was the end of him.
Right.
At least until now.
Well, he came out after and to repair his reputation to say, look, he admits that when he was chortling like that, that he was overlooking like the pain that a lot of women feel and the frustration of being in that position and not having the power to do anything about it. So, you know, good for him. He's back on TV. He's an entertainment guy, right? He's not like the head of a news department.
Right. Exactly. And who needs, you know.
And we've seen some heads of news departments do worse.
Right. Also, similar situation.
By the way.
Yeah. Since we're on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
He launched a vodka in the middle of all of this, too.
Oh.
Yeah. The American Harvest, I think it's called.
Oh, let me check. Yeah. Billy Bush vodka.
Yeah. So he's got he's got that going for him. He can come on the Carnarvon wagon if he wants.
Totally. Promote his show.
Extra vodka. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Checking in at
number two.
Tanya Ricardo is 30 years old, a divorced mom who works in the oil industry. She sought the help of a Houston-based cosmetic surgeon, Dr. Franklin Rose, to help her achieve her dream, resembling the Duchess of Sussex.
I want to look just like Meghan Markle. She's beautiful. She's just graceful. She's a very, very graceful woman. Our height is similar. Our weight is similar. And I just want what she has that I don't.
She has great cheekbones, which is what I want.
They say I'm very crazy for doing this, but I don't care. I'm going to do it.
Maybe spend that money on seeing somebody to talk about those issues. That's not normal. It's not you. It's her. You can't be her.
You can't be someone else.
And it's never going to look right. You know it's not.
Right. It's going to look like the done version.
It's going to look like a bad attempt.
And she's 30. Did we overlook that fact? 30.
But what about these people who go out and they remember that like human Barbie doll?
Well, he's the human Ken doll.
Right, but there was a Barbie.
Oh, right, the Barbie. The Ken doll actually lives here. We see him at Starbucks on Michigan Avenue.
That's true. We did see him at Starbucks. And Anna chased him down. Anna chased two people down the street in her career with us. George Papadopoulos and the human Ken doll.
We took a picture with him. Mm-hmm. And he looks dramatically different now because he's had 200 more surgeries, and that was only a year and a half ago.
Right. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's all too much.
He's removing ribs to try to make his...
What?
Yeah. Oh, have you seen the human Ken doll?
No.
Oh, you got to look him up. He's... Yeah.
This is terrifying.
I know.
Have you seen him?
Does he walk around in a plastic box? He looks very, very pulled when you see him. But now he's on the body and everything. He's got blonde hair. And I don't know. I don't know for contacts. His eyes are blue when they're naturally brown.
Ken wasn't blonde?
Yeah.
Or was there like a Malibu Ken or something?
Yeah, I think maybe he's Malibu Ken.
I think there was a Malibu Ken. Yeah. There was Ken. There was Ken with the porn stash from the 70s. That was weird.
And there was one that you could actually shave a beard off of him.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
Right. Well, the G.I. Joe had that, too. Where if you pumped G.I. Joe's fist, his hair would grow on his face. Yeah, I mean, it was like a weird, a limited edition. But it was like a whole thing. It was like you have like a, and then I think you could do something and it would suck back in.
Oh.
It was really weird.
I had a Malibu Ken. Full disclosure.
Now, that was the thing. Why wasn't Barbie interested in G.I. Joe? What the hell did she want with Ken?
G.I. Joe was a hero, for crying out loud.
Right.
Ken was just like, you know, some slacker, probably living off his parents' cash.
Right. He was a
driving his, you know, convertible.
Dilettante. Yeah. That's right, exactly.
G.I. Joe was a badass.
Yeah, where does he get his money? Well, he sells a little crystal meth on the side.
He's big into clubbing. Wakes up around 5 in the afternoon.
Right, and so does she, for that matter. Except when she wanted to become a veterinarian. And that didn't last very long, as you seem to recall. She got, like, a tech, she wanted to be a vet tech, she couldn't even get that. She got the receptionist job.
Is Barbie still a thing with kids?
I know, not very popular.
Really? No,
they're trying to revive her. Yeah, doing just run. That. Different by trying to do the kinds stuff. Of things where she, you know, she didn't aim high back in the day, and now she's trying to be an astronaut and things like that, but just not that popular. Totally not.
But she had a good run.
She wants to be an astronaut.
Well, I'm trying to say back in the day, she wanted to be like a surfer girl and be like a Miss Universe and be, right. As all these, kind of very like things based on her beauty. And now they tried to revolutionize like her to be more of somebody who's into mathematics and, be an astronaut and careers like that.
Like AOC running for Congress or something.
Right.
Woman Barbie. I like the idea of that.
Me too.
Yeah. What, sort of like, what does one do with, and she'll have a suit, and she'll stand there, and she'll yell but you have to have other congressman dolls, though, to go along with it. You're going to have like a Jerry Nadler. You're going to have a Chuck Schumer. you're going to have like old.
These would not be very popular dolls, I don't think.
Flatulent white men that she lines up and then she yells at them.
Get your Congresswoman Barbie. And don't forget the Congressman Ken for her to yell at.
Oh, Ken. Ken was. Ken is still driving up and down Pacific Coast Highway in a Mercedes.
I know. Ken's so into himself.
In a pink Mercedes. Hey, do you mind while you're in Congress if I borrow the pink Mercedes? That's how
you always kind of knew that would happen.
That's how it get played in my house. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. And five. Wait, hold on. No. We're not there yet.
Number one.
All right. Some dogs roll over and play dead. Some fetch. Some, dogs all have talents.
Sure. Right?
Every dog has its own talent.
Mine is good at catching a tennis ball from far away.
But one dog on Long Island is capturing the internet's attention with its musical talent. There have been a dozen videos posted of Buddy Mercury, named after Freddie Mercury.
I get it.
He's a Beagle Basset Hound mix. Stands on his hind legs next to a piano, taps the keys with his two front paws, and tilts his head back and...
That's his talent.
His owners, Lori and Glenn Wolf, you just can't make that up, say that Buddy has a huge following.
There's actually people making videos of their Beagle listening to the record and singing along.
Can he do Bohemian Rhapsody?
He does Beagleian Rhapsody. Yeah.
And somebody to love.
Yeah, they're really into the dog.
You don't get to hear it?
That's like Portlandia right there, totally is what that is. It's like, okay, all right.
Not quite living up to his namesake, if you ask me.
No. Now, Buddy sings the blues. They have an album out, or an EP. He's not ready. He doesn't have all the tracks ready for an album. He's got five real good tracks for an EP.
He's always there.
You know, that's what his manager told him. It's really important to get the EP out first. Then you can build from there.
Sure. That's the way all the cool kids do it.
Mm-hmm. Here you go.
And beautiful.
What is the talent there? Does anyone hear it?
He needs to go into music for horror movies.
People who are listening to this on their smart speakers at home, their dogs are going nuts right now.
Yeah. I thought it was touching. It's a touching tribute to Freddie Mercury.
Was it as good as Star is Born?
Okay.
I wonder how he would...
There's a dog in that movie. Oh, God.
His interpretation of that.
Was Buddy Mercury the dog that was sniffing around the garage door?
Buddy, don't let your owner go to the garage. Whatever you do.
Right,
if he gives you a steak and goes to the garage, get help. Go get help,
right,
boy.
Don't eat the steak.
Don't eat the steak.
Go
get help.
Go, boy. Go to the sheriff.
What's that, boy?
Why are you eating the steak? Don't eat the steak. There's no time. He's got a chair.
Your owner cooked you a steak and then went to the garage?
Hold on.
That's a 1092. We'll get out there immediately.
Oh, man.
Buddy, I'm not sure that's a great talent. Does it deserve?
Better than most. Good for Buddy.
Well, now, is Buddy... Honestly, God, I want to know if Buddy's actually hitting those keys. He's actually hitting the keys?
Is he really?
So is he hearing the keys? Is he hearing what he's... Did he know what he's hitting? He's just going. He's got play that thing in her. Play that thing again.
Let's hear it.
That should be the neighbor.
Shut up!
I'm trying to sleep for the love of God.
Shut.
Oh, man.
Okay. All right.
Good effort, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. So that goes. All right. I think that does it for us.
I think that does. I just don't understand what the talent is there. Is the dog hitting a key? Is he hitting the notes?
I mean, he's playing the piano, just not well.
I don't think that part, whatever that is, that's him still hitting the... But how does he know? Because he's actually hitting a note, sort of, right?
He's hitting... I think he's just putting his paws on the keys as if he were to get up on a table, but one day realized it wasn't a table, it was a piano, and it made a noise. And therefore, he likes to mimic it. It's like dogs in sirens, right? Same thing happens a lot when emergency vehicles come on by.
Right. I'm pulling for Buddy and his music career. He's got a future ahead of him.
Well, Lady Gaga needs a partner now, right?
Oh, why would you do that? Why would you do that?
Love that.
Why? I say, oh my God.
She still has her dog, Charlie, that she got for him when he was in rehab.
Right.
Charlie. Poor Charlie.
Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy.
Buddy and Charlie.
Buddy, where does Jackson Maine live? Come on, buddy. Take me to Jackson Maine.
Oh.
He's been in the garage for a while there.
Oh, God. All right. That's it.
Yeah, that's
all right. I'm calling it.
Hard to top that.
Yes. I don't think we can do anything else today. No, we can't do anything else. That's all I'm going to tell you. Tomorrow on this very program,
sure.
Starting at 3 o'clock on the... Oh, what time are we starting tomorrow? I think we got a whole show tomorrow, right?
Just about 12:10 start for Sox. So.
Oh, 12:10 start. All right. So maybe we'll be on CLTV and on the World Wide Web starting at 3 o'clock. And then whenever 7:20 comes over to us at that point, mm-hmm. somewhere around... it's a noon start. It's, you know, somewhere 3:30, 3:45, something like that. But watch the CLTV. If you want to see this, and there's really quite nothing like this.
Yeah.
You got Anna and Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
You and Kevin.
Me, these two mopes.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kim tries to keep it classy.
Right.
So it's worth a checkout from 3 to 4 every day. As Mr. Cochran is on every day from 9 to 10 a.m. So there you have it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. I got to close this thing up first, and then we'll see you back here tomorrow at 3.
The top 5 at 5.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Hit it, sweetheart.